God is good. Oh. Has he been good to you this week?
Yes.
Have you thanked him for it?
Yes.
Yeah, good. My subject is prayer. Speaking to God. Not only speaking to God, but getting some answers. Now, whatever happens to you during the week, some of it's not very nice. But it's the same God. And even though nasty things happen, as to me, a few months ago, I had a fall just outside the medical. What a good place to fall, eh? Outside the medical centre. That's why they've moved it. And I was quite broken nose, shoulders, knees, legs, and I'm still going to the hospital each week. But praise the Lord, I'm here. And all through it, he showed me little things. The people who came out of the medical centre immediately. The ambulance that arrived within 5 minutes. The jokes we had on the ambulance. I can't believe. There was a certain thing. I know what it is. You know what it is. Oh, before I forget, when you get the young people together again, congratulate them, will you, on the percussions. I think that's brilliant. We've got to look after our young children. They are the church's future. Okay? When old uns like me and Jack, we pop our clogs and go upstairs, these will be the people who will be taking over. So pray for them always. They're a precious commodity, the youngsters. So, prayer. A little poem. I called it Seek and Find. I went to seek a kingdom and found a narrow way. I went to find a signpost and found a child at play. I went to ask for guidance and found an open book. I went to read the pages and found a shepherd's crook. I went to find the shepherd and found a living stream. I went into the waters and found a joy supreme. I went with praise and worship and found naught to compare. I went to follow Jesus and found him waiting there. I went to join God's army and found the church he led. I went to find his battles, but the foe had already fled. I went to face my problems and found his blessings still. I went to scale a mountain, but found it was just a hill. I went to pay the debt I owed and found that it was paid. I went to seek the depth of him and found a table laid. I went to partake of the feast and there found wisdom true. I went replete to blissful sleep. I'd found my Lord anew. Now, seek and find, speaking with God and getting answers. So what is prayer? I've written down a few things that prayer is not or could be, as we understand it. We start with prayer, right? To beg, to plead, to ask, to inquire, to call, to submit, to implore. How many times do we do that with the Lord? Request, we do that as well. Convey, that's a lovely word, I love that, convey. Or relate. There are other words, of course. Prayer or conversation with God grows easier and less formal as the relationship deepens. When I pray, I usually expect something's going to happen, even though I'm not aware of it. In the days after, weeks after, years after, something will happen because of what I have prayed. praying from the, where I come from the, my background is Anglican, high Anglican. I started off as a choir boy. I went on as a lay reader. I went on bits and pieces. I followed the chap down the aisle, swinging the old blazing handbag. Yes, all that. And yet I was yet not a Christian. I was acting. I loved dressing up, walking behind the priest, helping at the altar. I was all those things. But I didn't know I was acting. I thought I was being, I was okay. Until my wife died. Then I turned on the Lord. And I told him exactly what I thought about him. I had to believe in him, otherwise I couldn't have told him off. So there must be some hope for me. In due course, after my wife died, I got a phone call from Crawley. I was up in Norfolk at the time. And I got a call in Norfolk, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And that was the Reverend Edgar Wallace, who started Ifield Hall, Tock H, all that business. A lot of you knew him. And I came back to down here, and he asked me if I would be warden at Goffs Park Road. Goffs Park Road at that time was a shelter for young miscreants, people in against the law. Most of them were on probation to one person or another. I had 33 of them. Now, to come from the death of my wife and more or less giving up, I was plunged into a maelstrom of activity. 33 maelstroms. That took the weight of grief away from me. It did come back, but that was just what the Lord had for me. From grief to complete activity. And when you're doing something for somebody else, that grief is nullified. It's like a balm, the Lord's balm. Back to prayer. Anyway, I'm here now. All those years, 1982 I came to Crawley. I retired from there from Ifield Hall in 1992. And I'm still going. I've got a few more years, despite the hospital visits. But there again, it's part of the adventure. I'm told that I make a joke of everything. And I say, life is a joke, so have a good laugh. Prayer. Simple enough for a child to understand. So why aren't we doing something about that? A little child will know the Lord's Prayer. A little child will get in the bed and say, God bless mummy and daddy, all kind friends and relations, and make me a good little boy or girl, in Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake, amen. And they've got it. They've got it. They're probably closer than a lot of us. But they don't know it. We don't know it. God does. And then the next bit, prayer, is so profound that we spend a lifetime plumbing its depths. And this is what I want to talk to, about the depths of prayer. Joni Erickson Tada said, prayer is an increasing awareness of the heartbeat of God. Just think of it, the heartbeat of God. And a sense of his rhythm in all things. We can't pray as we ought to. We know that. We've got the gift of tongues, or some people have got the gifts of tongues. Many people think, oh, well, I'll never have that. I didn't think I was going to get it. Coming from an Anglican, a high Anglican background, I thought that was a bit of a gibberish. But would you believe it? I started tongues by singing tongues. And that was due to a dear old lady. She's still alive, actually. She's 90 odd. I thank her for that. And from that, tongues just came. And it's one of those things you can't put on. It's either there or not. And I often pray to God in tongues because I don't know what to pray. But Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings. I love that word, groanings, in a biblical term. You know, that's a real effort he's making that cannot be uttered. In other words, it goes deep down inside you, but you couldn't explain it. That's very comforting, but it's not a get out clause. Something is required of us. A response from the very depth of our being. That response, I am certain, is not too far away beyond our reach. Individually, and as a church. Philip Clayton, who started Talk H, said, pray until it hurts. Have you ever prayed until it hurts? You've really got to be earnest to pray until it hurts. It doesn't mean to say you're going to have swollen ankles or anything like that. The hurt will be inside. I learned that through the death of my wife. I prayed until it hurt. And all Jesus said to me, do you love me? And he kept on, do you love me? I got fed up with it. How can I love you? Take my wife. He kept on. In the end, he won. I love him. So, this indicates, this praying until it hurts, indicates me pain and emotion. It be our groaning as well as the Holy Spirit. And I believe these are the important factors. It will be a stepping stone to plumbing the depths of prayer. I'm not there yet, but I'm looking. This is my mission. This is what I've written. This is a bit of a scrawl, but I'm going to read it anyway. I am on a mission to find prayer so deep, to take it a further step into this precious gift that the Lord has given us, to hear his voice and for us to respond with words, even tongues, that burst from within us naturally and supernaturally. I am aware that many already are at this exalted position in their Christian walk. But the ability to communicate this to others is like teaching somebody to ride a bicycle without the bike. You've got to get the bike first. You've got to get on the bike. You've got to fall off the bike. You've got to get on the bike. You've got to get off the bike, on the bike. And then there'll be a hand on the saddle until you get your balance. That hand is the hand of God. So once we've got our balance and his hand is on us, that's when we take that further step in prayer. Adam walked and talked with God in the garden. Therefore, I believe that as children of Adam, we should seek that intimacy that he enjoyed. But we are sinful. But we are redeemed. We're Christians. Our sin has been taken away from us by the death on the cross of Jesus Christ. So what's stopping us from getting into this depth of prayer where we can say, Dad, I'm here. Jesus did. All right, we mustn't get cocky with it, but at least we can come before the Lord with thanksgiving in our heart for the good things he's done for us this week. For the things that we've missed out on, The disappointments. He was there in the disappointments as well. He was there when I lay up the top there. I knew it. I could feel it. I've not reached that step. But God said, I shall never leave you or forsake you. So we in our turn must rediscover that closeness of God as Adam had in spirit, walk together and share our hopes and fears with our Maker in a new way. That's my mission. I don't know which way it's heading, but I do know there is a certain depth of prayer available to us. We're skidding along the surface at the moment. I want to plunge into the depth of prayer. I want to plunge into the depth of knowing Jesus, the Spirit and God. I want more of this. Do you realise the effect that you have right now? Do you know what the power of God is in this room right now? Do you know, as I go round here over the week, I can feel God Monday to Friday. It's because of you being here on a Sunday. You leave an aura. We've got the other two churches at the other end doing their bit. We've got the people in the middle. We've got the children who come. We've got the adults who come. The dance lessons. The school groups. Everything. And the Spirit of the Lord is on this place 24/7. Because of what we do in prayer. So don't knock it. It works. However, I am on this mission and invite you to prayerfully seek your next step in deepening your prayer life. Look for the unseen path. Some will find it. And when you found that path, tell others and bless them also. Jesus said, knock and it will be opened unto you. Trust and obey. Look for the way in faith. It will be a most amazing journey. I hope to keep you posted. And I hope you keep me posted. So, what is prayer? A few things I thought, well, let's look at prayer another way. Prayer is like, I've already mentioned the bike. Prayer is like a mountain. The nearer you get to the summit, the less you see of it. Now that's true, isn't it? You see the mountain in all its glory. You start in the foothills. You start climbing. And the top is hidden in a bluff part of the land, even in cloud. But the summit is not there. But why do you keep climbing? Because you know the summit is there. That's what we do as Christians. Sometimes we lose sight. Why are we climbing? Why am I doing this? Because you're Christians and you're heading for the top. An atom. So invisible. You can't see it. You can get close to it. But it's so powerful. But when detected and harnessed for the right purpose, it must be handled with care. And in our case, handled with love. Another part of what prayer is like. This one I like a lot. A stone thrown into a pond. It makes ripples much bigger than the stone. When you do something of kindness, when you do something in His name, the ripples go out and out and out. Much bigger than you ever expected. But it will touch people and circumstances that you have no idea about. Have you ever noticed when you're walking on the Barton or anywhere around here, you go past somebody who's a bit downtrodden and they go along and you just say, good morning, and they, oh, good morning. And they look at you somebody's spoken to me. To me! I always do it. But then I get some funny answers back, especially. But keep on doing it. It's worth trying. It's worth it. It's what evangelism is all about. Somebody who's just down in the dumps. Somebody smiles at them. They don't even speak. Somebody smiled at me. I must exist. Have you noticed the people that go round with their... You know? It's our job to lift that head, eye to eye, smile to smile, and say good morning. Or in the afternoon, you can say good afternoon. Prayer is like a bolted, fortified door. That's true, isn't it? Sometimes it's there, prayer, and you think, ah! But it can be opened at the purest thought or the gentleness of touches. Not even a key. They are the key to prayer. It is true, it's a fact, that you can power a small clock by inserting probes into a potato. You've got the negative and the positive, and that small watch will run as long as that potato is working. Now, imagine the power. This is God at work. Imagine the power which exists to grow an oak tree. If a potato can power a watch, what can a giant oak tree power? All we do is cut them down. But within that tree, there is such power. And I don't know whether we've got the science to measure that power. Up comes the moisture into the roots. This is like our lives. Into the trunk, up through the bark, up to there, and millions upon millions of trees all the time are sucking in what we're breathing out. That's God at work. He's breathing. We're breathing out carbon dioxide, and the tree is sucking it in and putting out oxygen. That's God at work. It's a miracle. So every time, another miracle, out here on the Barton, not many years ago, there was the King's coach, and the driver was an ex-drug addict. When I say ex, he was one of the best Christians I've ever come across. And he was driving the bus. And we were walking. I was working as a prayer team with Jack's wife. And the bottom of the bus would be the story of Jesus. And up top was a coffee shop. And we sat up there. And I saw him, a chap coming along, walking, very, very, very. And so the chap put his hand round his shoulder. Brother, are you saved? And the bloke said, no, no. He said, do you know where you're going? He said, yeah, I'm going to the library to change my book. But things like that, they stick in your mind, you know. There he was with salvation at hand, and all he wanted to do was change his book. Never mind. But that's prayer. Right, I'll wrap up now. So the sap rising in season, giving life to the mightiest trees, unseen power, the silent touch of God. Some people even hug trees. They must feel something. Yeah, why not? They're all God's creation. And the bike, of course. A baby gradually learning to speak. And the first words he says is in tongues. Aha! That's God at work. They don't come out with mum, dad, or anything like that. It's the baby knows what he means, or they mean. God knows what they mean. We don't. So we've got something to learn, haven't we? Fishing in a garden pond and landing the largest salmon ever seen. I'll let you work that one out. The deeper you go in prayer, the nearer you get to heaven. I'm on a journey. I know you are. And I, God bless you, this church, and dear old Crawley. We're here on a mission. Let's wake up to the fact that we are powerful. So powerful that we could frighten each other. But don't be frightened. God's in charge. God bless him. And God bless you.